I got confused there because I was not sure where the button was. All right. Welcome back to another episode of the Embassy Talks podcast. Let's see. We do have a stacked docket, which I'm actually looking forward to. I mean, I do look forward to pretty much all our dockets, but yeah, I like this one. But before we get to that, Jay, how are you? Do you have any church announcements?
Church announcements. I should be back streaming hopefully next week. Or like maybe even this weekend, as early as that. It's just a matter of me actually getting the rest of my streaming stuff together. I got lazy. I got really into it. And I got all my overlays, and I was like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then I got lazy. so, yeah. But outside of that, I don't think much else is going on. It's just been work and life. I don't know. How about you? You have any church announcements?
I'm going to post a YouTube video at some point in the next week. It's kind of same with you with the stream. Is like I did stuff and then I was just like I don't feel like it. So outside of that, still on the gaming streaming hiatus. But I have like these energy reserves, so I think I should be up to streaming. I ain't gonna make no promises. I'll get back to game streaming soon, or maybe I'll just come back in the new year. I don't know. I haven't decided. It depends. So, outside of that, no, I'm just chilling. Yeah.
That's like the theme. Just chilling. It's the end of the year. We're just trying to get through the end of the year. That's all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Basically. But yeah. So that's pretty much it. I got nothing. I still got merch. I'm pretty sure the site's still active. Because I haven't deactivated. I haven't changed anything. So yeah, it should still be active on empoweredmusemerch.com. So if you want to support me locally in that endeavor, feel free to do so. Got some stuff to choose from. Might be in my merchy bag a bit more at some point, or I guess in the coming weeks, months. So yeah. All right, so like I said, we have sort of a stacked docket where I'm even bringing back Newsbeat because there have been some interesting headlines. There have been a lot of interesting headlines, but there are two that stuck out. And one is both here and international, and the other is just international and funny. Also, we definitely are talking about what happened with Love is Blind a little later, so I haven't forgotten. But let's get to the news beat first, which starts off with beef. Particularly Argentine beef. There's a deal with Argentine beef made this week, and it turned into a whole thing. And I will caveat with, like, yes, it turned into a big deal for a good reason. It's just interesting that this happened. So, as y'all might be aware, or maybe not if you are vegetarian, but if you are an omnivore or carnivore, beef prices have definitely been increasing here in the U.S. And this is apparently a result of a shrunken cattle supply. But on Sunday, Trump suggested buying beef from Argentina could be one way to lower the cost. So it's like, okay, that got buried with all the other headlines. And it came as he already agreed to a $20 billion currency swap to boost the South American ally's struggling economy. But American cattle ranchers and agricultural groups swiftly opposed the possible deal, because they said it would hurt ranchers. Trump pushed back and said that Argentina is fighting for its life, which I'm not doubting. Like, have I studied the economic GDP of Argentina? No, but at the same time, like, I wouldn't be surprised if it was, if the country was struggling. So it's one of those, like, I could see it either way. But he also claimed that his global tariffs have helped the ranchers. We can argue on that one, but all right. So anyway, despite cattle ranchers and agricultural groups opposing this, the White House on Wednesday confirmed plans to quadruple the tariff rate quota for beef imports from Argentina. And that same day, the Department of Agriculture announced an action plan to support domestic cattle ranchers. So we went through some of the plan, and it was like, okay, from what I saw. And as a side note, the U.S. Cattlemen's Association said that the Department of Agriculture's initiative was a positive step forward, but the group was still deeply concerned about the move to purchase more foreign beef. So the $20 billion currency swap is one thing that I saw. I could have sworn that I saw something about giving $40 billion to Argentina. I'm not sure if that is a $20 billion currency swap, because maybe our dollar is twice that of Argentina's. But yeah, those are the money price sticker points that I remember seeing. But I do think this is a really important, because I don't know, we've always like kind of prided ourselves on raising our own cattle for beef and all that. And obviously whatever hits cattle ranchers is probably gonna doubly hit for your black cattle ranchers, because they've been shafted not just in these past 10 months now. Yeah. 10 months now, but, you know, they always tend to get the lower end of the stick on a lot of things just over the years. So, yeah, that's happening. But I just thought it would be interesting to bring up. And a lot of people are pissed about it on multiple sides of the aisle. So, yeah. Your thoughts, though?
Yeah, I would be pissed, too. Just the fact that it came out of nowhere.
It did.
So it's just kind of like, huh, okay. But then I can't say that. I'm watching what I say. So it came out of nowhere. Like many things within this regime.
Okay, I see where you were about to go.
Yeah, it's just that, because like, and I can see they're saying that the agriculture, it would hurt the ranchers and everything for American ranchers, but also with the fact that there is probably going to be there's probably going to be some sort of, there's already, so can we talk about SNAP benefits real quick?
Yeah.
Okay. So there's already the thing where the people aren't getting SNAP benefits. And then you can see the, that within the grocery stores, that there's actually not an abundance, but there's more food left over because most Americans don't have access to get that food right now. So that can kind of go hand in hand with outsourcing for your meat, where it's not getting it from the U.S., where it's already hurting the cattlers and everything.
Yep.
And the ranchers.
Yep.
So it's like, yeah. That's like, it's really surprising and out of left field. And at this time, that's why it feels really tone deaf right now.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, so like, I was at the time of this recording, there we go. We're still under the government shutdown, but SNAP is included within that. And so there's talk of like using emergency funds to fund SNAP, but that didn't happen. So yeah, like you said, like this is a very, of all times for this to happen, this is very, it's timely in the wrong way, pretty much, because it does come off as tone deaf, and it's like, yeah, dear, like, not only are people going without paycheck and being furloughed, and some are, like, at risk of being fired and all that, and now you're giving all this money to another country when, yeah, all that is happening, and you're importing their, what's the word? You're importing their food, which brings in more money for them as opposed to, you know, buying in, like you said you're going to do. But I personally don't hold politicians to their promises. Others, I'm sorry. Or am I? I don't know. But yeah, if y'all thought politicians actually kept their word, I apologize for y'all being misled. I gave up after Bush. Well, baby Bush, because I wasn't alive for Daddy Bush.
But hey, we got a new ballroom.
In theory. We currently have rubble. But yeah, so that happened. That's on, like I said, that's on the domestic front, and you know, because we are I guess in talks with Argentina on the international front. But let's venture overseas a little bit more. To the Louvre. There we go. So a good old jewelry heist took place and made the Louvre close on Monday as police investigated a heist that targeted France's priceless crown jewels. They did this Monday morning during business hours. 9:30 local time was reportedly when the gang of when the heist gang arrived. So they broke in using power tools, and they also they arrived with a vehicle mounted mechanical lift to get access, and they escaped. Sorry, this part's funny. They escaped on scooters. So two of the thieves got inside by cutting through the window with power tools. They threatened the guards, and the guards evacuated the premises, and they cut through the glass old-fashioned way. Two display cases containing jewels. 8 items were taken, all are from the 19th century and once belonged to French royalty or imperial rulers. And according to France's Ministry of Culture, they said the stolen items were a tiara and a brooch belonging to Empress Eugenie, wife of Napoleon III, an emerald necklace and a pair of emerald earrings from Empress Marie Louise, a tiara, necklace, and single earring from the sapphire set that belonged to Queen Marie Emile and Queen Hortense, and a brooch known as the Reliquary Brooch. Me personally, there's part of me that's hoping, it was like, I kind of hope this heist was like, you know, retrieving the jewels from wherever they were stolen from. I feel like they were stealing it. If they were stealing it back, it's like, oh, cool. Something tells me that's probably not the case though. But yeah, so once stolen jewels were stolen again. It's basically how I see the headline. But very, very interesting, random. Oh yeah, a heist took place in France. But your thoughts on that?
My thoughts about stolen jewels. yes. I stole them. I am very unserious.
I forgot you had that.
And it was right there, and I was like, you know what? We're talking about them. But no, it's hilarious to think that they did this in broad daylight. They just rolled a crane up there. Like, that's how a heist should go. It doesn't have to be under the cloak of night and like super secret and all this. They were just like, we're just gonna roll up here, literally roll up, go get our stuff, and roll on out. It's like, yeah.
Rolling away on scooters is wild.
Yes.
So, yeah, that is, we are in on serious times.
It's like, yes, but that's like, it's, that was like literally out of Nicolas Cage. It's going to be in the next National Treasure movie. And they're like, we're going to go to the Louvre. We're going to steal something. It's going to be there. I was like, oh, like, that's hilarious.
Right.
But I was like, that's like entertaining international moves.
Yes.
And it's a victimless crime.
Like, yes.
So I'm like, you're stealing from the rich.
Yeah.
But you're like, we don't condone stealing, but also.
But yeah, so that happened on a Monday morning.
Bright and early, like literally bright and early. Sun was out.
Imagine you working at the Louvre Museum and you're clocking in, and that's what you come into off of a weekend.
I can't imagine even being the one who was on the clock when it happened. I'm like, I know you getting fired. It's like, y'all just literally, they just rolled up on us, and you about to lose your job.
Yeah. Yep.
But yes.
All righty. Moving on to Creator Hub. A few updates. And TwitchCon was this past week. Well, last weekend. All right, so Twitch is working on an AI-supported auto clips tool that will generate clips of your stream after your stream ends, and also allow you to say clip that to create clips. You can join. There's a waitlist that you can join. Twitch is launching an official co-streaming feature that allows co-streamer viewership to contribute to the main channel streaming the content. Nearly great feature, except it sounds like it will be gatekept for brands and large creators. Twitch by Meta partnership will soon allow you to stream from Meta's AI glasses. I swear to God. I don't mind IRL streamers with the traditional phone or what is it? The what do you call the thing where you hold the cam? Where you...
And I know you're not talking about the VTubers, but that's, for some reason, that's the only word in my head.
No, not that. It's when you have the, it's like the selfie cam holder.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't necessarily mind those types of IRL streamers. GoPro, yeah. I don't mind them. It's not my cup of tea, but I don't mind them. But these IRL streamers with the AI glasses, like, it's one of those, it's like, I'm not a violent person, but I will, depending on where we are, if it's not, even if it is a convention, but less likely at a convention, more so, like, just out in daylight doing random everyday shit, like, getting groceries or something, I don't know. But yeah, it's just like, Those are the ones who I would deck and break your glasses if I caught you record me. Because why?
Yes.
I'm very much a glasses breaker. I won't harm you. I would just break your glasses. But I don't like it. I hate it. I hate it so much. Because it's going to make me not want to go out, period. Hopefully where I live that hasn't like caught on yet. I don't live in a big city or anything, so Yeah. But not looking forward to it. All right. Next year, Twitch will be less punishing depending on how you break the rules. So, for example, you commit a low severity offense on stream, you may temporarily lose access to streaming, but you can still watch Twitch and chat. Severe violations will still restrict your access to the platform. And then I'll be nice. And then Gavin Newsom attended TwitchCon's Purple Lounge, a place limited to premium partner. I don't pay attention to that man, so I don't know if he has a Twitch channel, but all right. Cool. Your thoughts on that in the other Twitch updates, though.
I'm so, like, AI is touch and go on, like, if I'm for it or against it, just because it's useful when used correctly, but also it's terrible for the environment. So it's also, like, there's that. So I don't know how I feel about being able to, it's a useful tool, just saying like clip that and it'll create a clip. Like that's actually pretty cool, but at the same time, how much is going into it? That's, how much is going into it? You saw my mod mode was like, pew. but yeah, so it's just like, but yeah, and as far as the AI glasses partnership, it's already a problem with streamers stealing content, making fun of people, just doing all kinds of different things with but yeah, so they clearly real in the chat. So people like will steal content with the glasses. Like they're banning them from a lot of places already.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's really that wise to link up and be like, hey, we want to partner with Twitch to do these glasses for them, so that way you can specifically like do IRL streams and things like that, because they get you in trouble for a lot of different places because right. People aren't. Return of the Mac. Okay, seriousness. But yeah. And as far as them being less punishing when you break the rules, I like that they're going to have a kind of system to offset the severity that they put on people. Because, of course, when you're doing something just like terrible, you should be banned. You shouldn't be allowed to use a platform. You shouldn't be allowed to like go in people's chats, things like that. But for people who have like maybe a one-time offense, something that's not even their fault that might have happened, then I think that they shouldn't have to be punished the same way that somebody who like goes on a racist rant. Like you have an accident happen and be like, oh snap. But then you have somebody who's like doing something, who's doing something and with malicious intent. So there's that. But yeah. And also I have no idea who Gavin Newsom is.
Girl.
I know I'd be in my own under a rock. I'm like literally Googling this person now, see who they are.
He's currently the governor of California.
Oh, yeah. I know his face.
Yeah.
Know his face.
He's a real life Fitz.
Okay, yeah. I was like, I know the face. I didn't know his name. I just know him as like, oh, that's the governor of California. But if you ask me like what his name is, I'd be like, I don't know. I just know his face. But yeah, what was I about to say about him? I like how they're like, oh, you're in the premium partner lounge. Are you even on Twitch?
That's but, what I was saying. I mean, maybe he is. I don't know because I don't follow him. So, like, I mean, if he is, good for him. Yeah. Whenever they're...
Wait.
Yeah.
You know what you mean? He's our type. As in Gavin? Is he a Fitz? Is he for the people? Is he for the streets? Oh,
Lord.
We like that. He's not too old. We like that.
No, he's not too old or anything. It, that's why I was like, real life Fitz. He is. I don't fully like him, but you know, I guess he's for the moment or whatever.
Yeah.
All right, so YouTube news real quick. YouTube is releasing public to members only live streams to all monetizing creators. I'll get there one day. YouTube is rolling out the redesigned video player globally. Redesigned video player. Oh. There's okay. Aesthetics. Really not a lot in the actual platform news. Switching over to creator industry news. Quick trigger warning, because this happened at TwitchCon and yeah. So a streamer named Emiru was assaulted at her TwitchCon meet and greet. From what I saw on the post, like, some random came up and, like, came up and put their hands on her and I think damn near kissed her. if not kissed her. So, walked past security and all that. So Twitch released a statement. Emiru responded and claimed that Twitch lied in their statement while refuting that the platform and event security did anything without her team prompting them to do so. She later went live to talk more about Twitch's failures and why she will not attend future Twitch cons. Yeah. Yeah. Actually, I haven't heard much else about TwitchCon. Outside, like, that just put a whole bad shadow on it that was the most I saw about it.
I saw people connecting it with, even though it's not connecting, not the slip up name. You spelled it wrong, babes.
But, so you judging for me?
We're having fun in the chat tonight. But the only thing that I've seen them like kind of talking down on TwitchCon is them linking what happened last year with them people breaking their backs and then in the foam pit. Was it the year before? I think it was the year before.
Yeah.
So they were saying like, y'all, Twitch has already been showed y'all that they don't care. So what made you think of them this instant that they would care?
That's valid.
So, yeah. So So I'm like, yeah, when they show you your color, their true colors.
Yeah. Yeah. This is not like further incentivizing me to go to. I would go at my current state, but I don't think I would go if I ever got to large creator status. Just because of shit like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, nah.
E-gas.
But, yeah, so I doubt Twitch will do anything to rectify. Maybe Emiru should sue. I'm all for litigation these days, so, like...
Hit him in the pockets, that's...
Sue, but that's me. Because that is a failure of their security. Because yeah. It was a meet and greet sponsored by Twitch, and she is a contractor of Twitch, technically, so... Yeah. And yeah, Twitch's security didn't coordinate with her security or whatever, didn't even alert them, so I don't know. I'm in my litigious era. So that's pretty much what I would, that not advice, but outside looking in, I would sue. That's just me. Moving on. Consumers prefer short video compared to any other content formats. Screaming at me is to do my shorts and TikToks again. All right. Netflix will soon be streaming some Spotify podcasts. This next one, I was trying to get to the article, but it's behind a paywall, and I wasn't about to pay Business Insider or anything. 24/7 sales live streams are effective in China. Could this mean that it's coming to the USA? Maybe, maybe not, because we're always in competition. But what I took from 24/7 sales live streams. It's giving like QVC channel, but live stream. You know? Again, I couldn't get to the article because it's behind a paywall, but that's what it put me in the mind of. And if so, oh dear God. That is quite an era. Not if you don't have kids.
Yeah, oh, you catching up. That's why I was like, yes. I like the correlation of that to the us like a live stream / QVC.
Right.
I was like, that's kind of funny.
I can, I can see it being that, but I need a free article or a gifted article. Unfortunately, this was not gifted, so I gotta go by the headline.
That's all I can go by.
Yeah. So if I'm wrong, this is because I'm cheap. So yeah. The EU Parliament is voting on whether social media should be restricted for under 16-year-olds. At this point, I say yeah. At this point, if we were talking about like when we were teenagers, God, that sounds okay. We're aging. But we were talking about back in the day that we probably shouldn't have been on there, but it was a lot less than what it is currently.
Yeah, because I know we've talked about this, like, probably a couple weeks, within this year, we've talked about this as well, about how social media is kind of detrimental to the minds of the youth, because there's so much that they place on it, and it's just not a safe space for teenagers, and I feel like it shouldn't be a space for anybody. And if you have to put the label and say under 16 for apps and said, because at first it was 13.
Yeah.
And if you're saying 16, I'm like, yeah, because it's, they over sexualize. They promote drug use and alcohol, and you're seeing different things. And not to say that you should shield your children from that. It's just that when it's constant, they're on their phones 24/7.
Right.
It's constant. So at a certain point, it warps your brain to where you muddle what is reality, like realistic expectations of life,
mm-hmm.
and what you think that it should be based off of social media.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, agree with all that. Yeah. There's especially because, like, and that's the EU. So there's not, we're not even having a conversation about it in our Congress.
Oh, they won't.
And they never will.
They don't care.
So, yeah, for us Americans, it's just up to us to, like, monitor, I guess, and hope that internet doesn't warp our kids' brains or whatever. If I do have kids, gosh, that's gonna be a challenge. Because they're, like, using tablets and shit in school, I think. So, or at least in some schools. I don't know at what age they start, but, yeah. So, it's gonna occur at some point regardless, but yeah, I'll save that for, that's a future M problem if that ever happens, so just know the youth were probably not okay with all the social media. Alright, so Love is Blind, I moved this to the So Do We Care, or So Do Y'all Care, or just don't care, because good lord. all right. Spoiler alert for this past week's episode. If you didn't watch it Wednesday, sorry. Spoiler in 3, 2, 1. No one got married. No one got married. They just ended on a montage of, you know, what the season was and just a random ding, and that was it. And we'll see what happens at the reunion next week. But yeah, no one got married, which is actually the first time, at least in the U.S. version of Love is Blind. I don't know about other countries' versions, because I got a 9-to-5, so I don't. Yeah. I don't keep up.
France is good.
Okay. But yeah, I don't know if other countries experience, like, no one got married by the end. Of the season, so let's see, it ended how I thought it was gonna end, honestly. I'm trying to remember. Oh, the Allie Anton, I was like, who else was it? Yeah, I wasn't surprised Allie said no. I was hoping Calabria would say no, so I was like, definitely was not surprised. Although I was kind of surprised at how many people were, like, saying she's a villain, because she, like, took it all the way to the altar. I'm like, that's, like, y'all know they have different contractual obligations. I would have told her to back out earlier, but if I were her friend, but they have contractual obligations and they're incentivized to make it to the altar, and that's, it's a reality show, like, yeah. That it's just, yeah, it's kind of a weird discussion online of, like, why are y'all villainizing? No, I know why. Whatever. Anyway, we know why. Yeah, Calabria said no, and we shouldn't be surprised, nor should we condemn her, because y'all, they knew what they were signing up for. Okay.
He's gonna be alright.
He'll be fine. And apparently, he acts one way on camera and one way off camera. So, like, we don't know any of these people, but we don't. To emphasize, we don't know that man, so.
Correct.
Yeah. And, Megan and Jordan, I would've, if, that was the one that was like, oh, wasn't quite expecting it to go that way, in the sense of they didn't even get to the altar. They like, broke up, like, the day before, or the morning of, or something, at their apartment. Megan broke up with Jordan, because she realized he was a regular dude who doesn't make six figures. Or if he does make six figures, it's like the low 100s, not necessarily her salary. So she broke up with him because he was acting his wage and not acting her wage, I guess.
But he told her the whole time, I'm a simple guy.
He told her up front.
I was like, you were expecting a diamond and he gave you a lab diamond. And there's nothing wrong with a lab diamond, because it's still a diamond. But, as they say, like, the difference between real diamonds and lab diamonds, lab grown is the fact that, yes, they're both the same. They both are expensive initially, but they depreciate value when you try to resell it. Mm. So he's a lab diamond in her eyes.
Yeah.
Because it's just like, it sparkles. It's nice. It's like, it does almost all the same thing, but it doesn't have the same exact value as what you were going for. So it's just like, and there's nothing wrong with it because they're more ethical. So, but there's nothing wrong with being a simple person. And if it's not for you, it's not for you.
Right.
Go for somebody who's not simple.
Right. That's it.
I was like, cause yeah.
And if you knew all this, even though he told you multiple times, he showed you the apartment. It was very simple. But if you knew all this, why'd you press him so much on meeting his son?
And her friend said, don't go into this just because you, like, for the kid. Like, don't go into it just because you're falling for them. And, like, yeah, and you're like, oh, the connection between, which that's always been a weird connection for me. Be like, yeah, my dead dad and your alive son.
I mean,
I get that they both had diabetes.
Right.
But at the same time, it's like you're comparing your dead father.
Yes.
To my alive son. Those are two. They're similar, but they're two different things right now.
Right.
And that's a constant reminder to be like, your dad died of complications from his diabetes.
Right.
That's not a great reminder.
Right.
So I'm like, yeah. So like her saying no, I thought she was going to go to the altar and say no.
I thought so too.
Yeah, I was like, I'm only shocked that they actually didn't do it at the altar at all. Because he was like, this is me.
Yeah. Yep. And then she got with some bald dude and got pregnant. Allegedly. I guess we'll find out next week. For sure. Yes. But there are pictures and stuff already posted.
Mm-hmm. I was like, because this is like the most ghetto season that they had. Will I be here for next season? Yes, I will. But
I can see where they're gonna.
It was a disappointment.
I can see where they're gonna put next season, because where can you go after that?
I don't know. Take it to California.
Oh, Lord.
I was like, take it back to Atlanta. Just go back to Atlanta. See if y'all can make that happen again.
I don't know. Does Atlanta deserve that?
I don't know where else they could go.
To Florida.
That would be fun. Just a whole bunch of Florida mans.
Yeah.
And oh my gosh. Oh, that would be hilarious. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm all for Florida.
It's going to be superficial as hell, though. But yeah.
Yeah. It's like you got the Miami popping collars, Florida guy, and then like the Miami girls. And then you got like the people who live out in Tallahassee. So it's like you're just gonna get like a mixture of all kinds of people.
But I'll see. I guess we'll see what the reunion has in store, but yeah. But it's just it was a season. Had to power through that one. All right. Weekly roundup, last but not least. So, I actually don't watch this regularly. I only watched it because I saw Kev on stage was on it. Even though I do love Kirk Franklin. But it was one of those things of like, I feel like I'm in grown man's business. And like, I don't know. No, that's like what I always be. Not like that. So that
I love Kev. He gonna pose.
He gonna pose. So this was an episode called Den of Kings. This is Kurt Franklin's kind of YouTube series where he brings, I'm pretty sure it's like strictly black men. I don't watch the show. I've only watched this one. He brings these black men together at sort of this round table where they like talk about different topics or certain topics, typically over really good food. And yeah, so I, like I said, was interested in this episode because I was like, oh, brought Kev on stage on. Okay, cool. Because I knew that they knew each other. So I was like, okay, interesting. And then I saw who else was on there. And then I was like, how we get here? This is an interesting ensemble, as you can see. So on the episode... Yeah. Yeah, on the episode was Kev on stage, Ray J, I always forget his name. He was a former football player, and it seemed like he became a therapist because his name did have doctor, in front of it, his official name, and I can't remember his name.
I got you.
I was like, well, Jay's looking at
it. Dr. J. Barnett.
There we go. So Dr. J. Barnett, who's in the green. Jonathan Majors, and NLE Chop. We knew him as NLE Chopper. He was introduced as NLE the Great. I'm trying not to laugh. I'm sorry.
Literally, when M asked me, did I watch it? And I started watching it, and the first thing I texted her was, when is nigga go by NLE the Great? I was like, that's NLE Chopper.
Yeah. So again, was interested, and the topic apparently was mental health. Which, looking at a couple of them, it was like, okay, that makes a little more sense.
Three of them make sense.
Yeah.
I will let y'all deduce who does it.
So, yeah, three of them make sense. Once the topic was mental health, right? So, if you watch this, well, okay, I'll do the disclaimer a little bit in the middle. But if you watch the show, it was supposed to be about mental health. And then it got really theological. Really into spirituality, religion, all that, which is fine, considering the moderator is Kirk Franklin, so it's like, it's fine. Just wasn't quite... It went way deeper into theology than I would have expected when the topic was supposed to be about mental health. So that's where you got a lot of the greats. The great clips. From Sir NLE. And I think the overarching thing was that this dude is really young. And I personally didn't realize how young he was. I thought he was late 20s. And he's 22. But I could have swore he was late 20s. Like, I thought he was, like, close to our age.
And, like, when they kept saying 22, but, like, he was a fresh 22.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, you're like new to this.
Yeah.
Oh, baby, you need some, you still got milk behind the ears.
He does and he doesn't, because, you know, he's from Memphis, and he's from the side of Memphis where, in his words, he didn't think he'd live to see past 16. So it was like, it's almost like you've experienced stuff that people might never see. At the same time, you still got a lot of growing to do. And I think that was like kind of the awkward framing that everybody else was trying to tell him during the show, was like, because he was the one who was saying the more clip-worthy stuff, more controversial stuff, especially when it came to religion, because Okay, so he confused me. Because it was almost like he said he wasn't religious, right? But
he said he goes straight to the source.
He said
just him talking to God. That's it.
Right. Which that is a philosophy that people do ascribe to. They don't necessarily believe in organized religion, but they do believe in a higher power, believe in God, and they go straight to God. But the way he was trying to frame it, he was trying to put a new twist on what all of us already called what all of us already called either spiritual or agnostic. But
oh, that word he made up.
I don't even know what word. I know what word you're talking about, and I was like, I threw that out of my brain because I was like, that's not a thing.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah. He was basically, to me, this is my take. He was basically trying to redefine that blend of spiritual, or when people call themselves spiritual, and what's actually accepted as under the branch of agnostic, which is, I think people tend not to say agnostic because they think it literally means that they're questioning whether or not God exists. And it's not necessarily that. There's a branch, it's like a whole umbrella term. So within that umbrella, there's a branch of agnostic belief of like, no, I believe in a higher power, but I am questioning how is the higher power making all this work? But that's basically, yeah. Anyway, so he said the most clip-worthy stuff, not just for trying to make new concepts and words, but because he also seemed to be not the most, not like aggressive, I guess assertive. He was very assertive in his takes, despite being the youngest, and like, the other men around him were like, hey, you're young. Like, you're young. You still got to keep living because you're 22. Because, like, that's, you got to keep living, bro. Like, yeah. Very interesting overall. So, I watched that, but I also watched the bonus episode of Kev's podcast where he talked about his experience with it. So the things that we know exclusively from that podcast that I feel like is okay if it's on the internet. And we also could have guessed, because I already knew Kev was not going to give like the dirty details like that. So the call sheet of guests, because I know people were like, if they were Kev fans and or mainly I would say Kev fans. If they were Kev fans, they were like, now Kev, How'd you walk into a sit down dinner with Ray J, not so much Dr. J Barnett, but Ray J, John the Majors, and NLE. The call sheet for the guests, like basically Kirk called Kev up, was like, hey, you wanna be a guest on my show? Kev said yes, because it's Kirk. But the actual call sheet of guests, I don't think anybody saw it until like 2 days before they shot. And by that time, it's too late. Like, you said yes, you committed. Like, that's your friend. So, what are you gonna do? So, that happened. And there were a lot of cuts made, you know, throughout the shoot. But, like, that's with any podcast, YouTube show, anything like that, anything of that production or higher. Their actual recording was like a little over 3 hours long, and I think we got an hour 40 something minutes of it. Mm-hmm. So, and then Kev didn't say this on this podcast. This was just my assessment based on watching it. Ray J was just high as fuck. But somehow he kind of fit. So it was like,
he was calm, but he was also still very Ray J.
That That man was high.
I was like, oh. Because if he wasn't high, then I don't know. But oh, God. It was that whole episode was hilarious to me. As I said, Ray J was being very Ray J.
Yes.
It was just a tamed version of himself.
Yes.
But he was still, like, for the shenanigans. Yeah, I was like, because even him showing up with the cowboy hat and everything, and I was just like, why?
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 So
that was a choice.
It was. So I thought, like, Kev had shot this recently, but it just released recently. I think Kev had shot this within the last year or so. So I'm assuming where they shot at was in Texas, because I'm 90% sure. I ain't trying to dox the man, but I'm 90% sure that is where Kirk Franklin lives. So I'm making that leap. I'm trying to help Ray J out. I was like, I'm making that leap because I think that's why he's wearing the hat. But
get into the vibe.
Yeah. Texas. But anyway, your thoughts on what you watched.
Yeah, I agree that in El Chapo, because that's how you came out. That's how we know you. I'm not, you're not Charlemagne. No. I was like, in El the Great. I was like, that don't roll off the tongue.
But Charlemagne came out as Charlemagne the God, and it stuck. Exactly, so
exactly.
He didn't change it midway.
Exactly. I was like, sometimes it works in your favor where you change your name, like how 2 Chainz came out as Titty Boy.
Oh, yeah.
And that was very Atlanta. And everybody who knew him from Atlanta, like, that's how you knew him. And then all of a sudden he came out and he's putting out songs. And they're like, 2 Chainz. I'm like, that's Titty Boy. but it stuck. I was like, the rebrand stuck. I was like, NLE the Great, I don't know if that's going to stick.
Nah.
I was like, I'm not feeling it. You cut your hair and you try to have this vibe about yourself. I'm just not feeling it. It's not giving what it's supposed to give. But yeah, I was like, to me, he came off as just very young, just very, yes, you have experiences in life in certain facets, but you're still very young and not naive, but you still have a lot of growing to do and to think on. So, yeah. But yeah, everybody else, though, outside of Ray J, made sense to me. I was like, oh, y'all having like a real deep conversation. I was like, okay. Like, and Ray J makes sense. It's just that he's just so Ray J.
Yeah.
That's all you expect from him. So it's hard to take him serious when you're having like an actual serious conversation. So yeah, I was like, and when it got, like you said, the conversation was supposed to be about mental health, but it's skewed towards religion a lot. And so it's kind of took away from the conversation we're supposed to have, which I feel like still that goes hand in hand with the topic of religion, of mental health within the Black community, especially towards men, but within the Black community, how they'll gear that towards religion. They'll be like, just go to church, pray it out.
Right.
So I'm like, oh, that kind of still fits.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's how I felt on that. Oh, and like I said, Kev gonna hit that pose. I love it.
But
everybody all serious. He's like, hey, y'all.
Oh, but it's I felt bad for him because I empathize, because I tend to have the same issue. Like, his face throughout was like, it wasn't that he was trying to be rude, but that's just his resting face.
And his thinking face, like, oh.
Yeah.
But it's not me judging you. That's just where the natural state went to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, it's quite a memeable face. And oh, it does look judgy.
They tore him up when they put and they animated it, and it was just like, I was like, oh, they're funny.
But yeah. It's funny because he said on his podcast, he was like, well, I was actively working on it. I thought, you know, my face wasn't showing like it usually shows.
It's like, no, it did, baby.
And so he watched it back and was like, I didn't do anything, apparently. I empathize, though. Because it's like my resting face isn't bitchy. But it does look pouty, apparently. So, like, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so all I can say is I empathize. I do not have the best face, and I don't even know what it looks like if I'm, like, seriously thinking. It probably does look judgy. I don't know. Thankfully, I don't have to be on camera the whole time that I'm at work. So, yeah.
I'm in training for work and we have to be on camera. And my resting face is just like, so it looks like I don't care.
Yeah.
But I'm listening, but I'm just like, I'm just like, I was like, it's not all happy. And yeah.
Yeah. But, anyway, yeah. I enjoyed watching it. It was, and then Ray J being Ray J, he got up because he had jumped in the conversation of, like, telling NLE he was young. He had jumped in that part of the conversation as it got towards the end. And I guess he got frustrated. He's like, all right, I'm going to go smoke. And I don't know if he ever came back. Well, because when we watched it, it was very late. And it was a Friday night. And I had work. So I fell asleep. I'm gonna assume that he never came back, but I don't know. Ray J just got up and left for a smoke, but I don't think they showed him ever coming back. But that was like towards the end, like with like 20-ish minutes left. So that was just another thing. But God bless Kirk. I do think this, like, YouTube series, I think it's a good work he's doing to, like, bring men to the table, get different perspectives, talk about different things. I don't know how I feel about that Tyler Perry one. I haven't watched it fully. I just saw the clip of, like, he wasn't paying, what was it, his aunt or something. But at the same time, it's like, well, maybe I can watch for full context. But at the same time, I'm like, I don't know how I feel about that. But, yeah. But I think this is, like, a good thing Kirk is doing for the community to get healthy perspectives, healthier perspectives from Black men. Because even with NLE being NLE, that was still, I'd much rather sit through that than sit through the red pill shit. Because at least y'all make sense somewhat. And it's still like kind of the disrespectful, healthy dialogue, and it's not just he man woman hater. So yeah. But I think it's at least from that episode, I was like, I think that's a pretty good series. I'm kinda interested in watching more now. But all right. Anything else before we close out? Hey, what's up, Kong? I'm sorry, I was yapping.
I know. But no, nothing else. Let me say out of Discord.
Okay.
But no, nothing else on that. I don't have any, like, Sudo cares or anything like that this week. It was a mild week, so.
Yeah, it's pretty mild. All right, y'all. Well, we're gonna. It's good to see you, Kong. But we're gonna wrap it up here. Thank y'all for coming out to another episode of the Embassy Talks podcast.